Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll start today with a look at Iowa, on the final day of campaigning before tomorrow's caucuses, before the presidential candidates descend on New Hampshire.
Now, if you weren't following the political news over the weekend, here's the latest. Rick Santorum is the new Gingrich.
Gingrich, who promised a positive campaign, is now on the attack.
Ron Paul remains a serious contender, at least in Iowa.
And the latest Iowa poll has Mitt Romney back on top, where some political observers say he always was.
So, here with a bit of analysis on the race in Iowa and what it all means for New Hampshire is our Radio Boston political team, Democrat Susan Tracy and Republican Jack Clancy. And Susan and Jack, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Happy New Year.
Great to have you. Happy New Year to you. So let's begin with the apparent surge of former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. A Des Moines Register poll of likely caucus goers has him third behind Ron Paul and Mitt Romney with about 15%. But gaining momentum, apparently. And let's listen to a bit. Here's the latest Santorum ad. Let's just listen to a bit of this.
Who has the best chance to beat Obama? Rick Santorum. A full-spectrum conservative, Rick Santorum is rock solid on values issues. A favorite of the Tea Party for fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse.
Okay, you get the idea. That's the latest political ad from Rick Santorum. Long a favorite of social conservatives. Now he's trying to make an electability argument in that ad. Jack, does that work? Can that work?
I don't know. Perhaps it could. It's hard to believe outside of Iowa, where the evangelicals have a good deal of influence that he could have impact. I don't think he's a middle-of-the-road enough guy to do so. But he's trying to appeal to them beyond the evangelicals, maybe have some luck. Obviously, he's peaking at the right time.
Yeah, peaking at the right time. Susan, what's your view of the Santorum phenomenon?
You know, well, you mentioned at the beginning that he's the new Gingrich. He's also the new Kane, the new Bachman, the new Perry. I mean, this is a party that has been desperately seeking someone other than Mitt Romney. So I guess it's no surprise that when Gingrich fell, someone else had to rise who wasn't already, you know, up and down in that field. I think it's all too little too late. He has no money to compete, even if he comes out. I mean, Huckabee came out a winner out of Iowa a few years ago. And I don't see him catching on. And quite frankly, Gingrich and Perry probably still have legs after New Hampshire. And I just think it's hard for Santorum to continue.
Well, that's the thing. And if you look at the polling looking forward to New Hampshire, Santorum is nowhere in that poll. So even if he pulls it out and makes a strong showing or even wins in Iowa, where does he go after that, Jack? Right? It's a long, tough road for him.
I agree with you. I don't think he'll catch on in New Hampshire at all. Mitt, with the Suffolk poll over the weekend that was released, has a 41%, which I think is a 26% lead. So, and Santorum doesn't, I think, even show up on that poll. He could look ahead to South Carolina. They could split some conservative votes down there, and that's only 2 weeks away. But beyond that, Florida is kind of a more moderate a demographic, and I don't know that it'll do well there.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the two folks who look like they're in the lead, Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. Conventional wisdom would have it that this sort of is a race between those two, and yet 41% of likely Republican caucus goers are still undecided. Are we, I mean, is it a still anything can happen race, or is that, what do you think?
I kind of think it is, because of the fact that he's peaked so early. The evangelicals got together. They like to get behind one candidate when they can. They chose Santorum, although I guess apparently a radio talk show host who is very, very popular out there went with Gingrich, oddly enough, and may split that vote a little. But they want to get behind one, but they also want to get behind a winner. So it'll be curious to see what happens. Mm. These caucuses take a lot of time on Tuesday night. You got to commit yourself to 3 hours. So you get committed voters to show up. You get people who are usually very conservative and certainly engaged with their candidate. And evangelicals are certainly engaged with their candidates, typically.
Susan, is this a Romney-Paul contest, though, at this point?
I think it's a Romney contest, period. I don't see Paul continuing to have any stamina. I mean, he'll always get a certain percentage of the vote. He'll always have a very strong following. He's not going to be the Republican nominee. It's Romney's to lose. I actually think, you know, as long as Romney comes in the top three, and if we believe the polls out of New Hampshire and he smokes them in New Hampshire, he has the money, he has the organization, he's the person to the beat. I think the things, in my opinion, to look for are a little bit further down the road, and they are still Gingrich and Perry because they have money. Mm-hmm. Gingrich has about, I think, $9 million on hand. I don't know what Perry has on hand, but, you know, what I find interesting is I got to believe that Gingrich is furious. and he's furious about the attack that he has felt in this campaign. And what did he say today? That he wasn't Swift-boated, he was Romney-boated.
Well, let's talk about that. And he's making a particular reference to these ads that really helped kind of take the air out of the Gingrich bubble, these ads that came mostly from the super PAC, Restore Our Future, which supports Romney. Right? Mm-hmm. The New York Times ran a great piece over the weekend that made the point that that PAC, largely funded by Romney supporters, largely staffed by former Romney staff members, but of course adhering to the letter of the law, not coordinating with the Romney campaign. But what does that say about where this whole system is going? Let me start with you, Susan, since you brought it up.
I think most people feel that this is the first time negative campaigning has been used at this level in Iowa. And if that's happening in Iowa, I think we're in for a very bumpy campaign season. This sort of money that's just unchecked that can be spent in these campaigns with these, we see it here. We see it in the Elizabeth Warren ads and the Scott Brown ads, both of them. So I think it really shows that we're going to be in for a pretty ugly campaign season.
You agree, Jack?
I think it's possible. Certainly, the Republican primary may be over soon enough that we don't have as much as we could. Let's remember also, though, in Iowa, Ron Paul came in with a lot of money, and he saw Gingrich on his level. He threw a lot of ads, negative ads, mm-hmm. toward Gingrich as well. Let's not forget. Romney did as well with the super PACs, but Paul saw Gingrich as the person who might bump him from number two if he had to share it with Romney. So he spent a lot of money that way as well.
Hmm. But I also think the lesson of that spending is that negatives work. We say it over and over again.
We learn that again and again.
Nobody likes them. The people hate it. They work. They have, maybe Gingrich was going to be taken out anyway, but they clearly took Gingrich out in this race. If that's the lesson, to me, the lesson going forward, whether you're Obama or you're Romney or whomever the Republican nominee is that, and those super PACs, that negative is the way to go, sadly.
Well, looking ahead to New Hampshire, a Suffolk University poll has Romney, I think, as you mentioned, Jack, still way out ahead with about 41%. Ron Paul next with 15%. Gingrich and Huntsman competing for third place. Now, Huntsman, an interesting story, has put all his eggs in that New Hampshire basket. He told the AP this weekend he'll drop out if he doesn't make third place. What do you think about Huntsman, Jack? Sort of surprising that he hasn't been, not surprising, but if any state was going to get excited by him, I would have thought it would be sort of middle of the road, New Hampshire, conservatives, but not so much.
Yeah, I think conservative might be the wrong label. I think he probably leans a little more moderate, almost to if there is such a thing as a liberal Republican, he would probably
yep.
lean that way, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think a lot of people were upset when, in the very beginning of the primary debates, he sort of insulted essentially the entire Republican candidate row and said that he was really only that they were all attacking Obama and that they shouldn't. I think some people took that to heart. I think some people still remember that Huntsman went after everybody in the early going.
Mm.
And I don't think that's going to help him anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think he will be dropping out after New Hampshire.
Do you think that's the case, Susan?
Well, clearly Huntsman agreed with you, which is you think if he could catch fire anywhere, it would be in New Hampshire, which
yeah.
is why he put all his eggs in that basket. I just don't see a path for him. Even if he comes in the top three, South Carolina's next. How does he compete there? And then and then it gets even more difficult, and you really need a ground game, which is why I just feel like all the cards point towards Romney in this.
Well, let me ask a final question about that. Much has been said how the lead up to Ohio and Iowa and New Hampshire has reflected a kind of uncertainty about Romney and the sort of heart of Republicans, a reluctance to embrace him wholeheartedly. But if he wins Iowa, followed quickly by New Hampshire, and then on to that long national calendar of primaries where money and organization mean everything, isn't he awfully hard to stop, Jack?
I absolutely think so. Susan and I were talking about this earlier before we came on, and we kind of both agree, maybe myself a little less, but that he has it to lose. That's followed by South Carolina, where if he even comes in second or third there, he's in great shape if he has already won Iowa and New Hampshire. Then Florida, 57 delegates. I think he'll do well there. Then he has Wyoming, which he'll, of course, get because of Mormons. Michigan, his home state. He could get on a real roll, and this could be over by the end of January, I think, if not sooner.
Yeah, I mean, his real problem, in my opinion, is that he's going to have to, one, mobilize the base and pull together his opponents. I think Gingrich, in particular, is going to be loaded for bear against him. I think he's got money to spend. I think that'll be ugly. And I think mobilizing the base has been really hard for him to do, and I don't see that path getting a lot easier.
Well, it all begins tomorrow in Iowa, and then they'll be descending upon New Hampshire for the next few days, and we're underway. Radio Boston's political team, Republican Jack Clancy, Democrat Susan Tracy, thank you both for coming in today.
Sure, thanks. You.